Welcome. You're listening to the Agile Unemployment Podcast, where in each episode, we take an in-depth look at being out of work. We'll talk about the programs and benefits available to you. We'll talk about the job hunting process itself. And most importantly, we're going to address the psychological and emotional impact that being out of work has on the individual. I'm your host, Sabina Sulat. I'm an HR expert and author. A few years ago, I lost my dream job and found myself unemployed for the first time in my life. I was frustrated by the lack of resources and information available to people out of work. But more than that, I was just stunned by the fact that we don't talk about unemployment. I took my experience and I turned it into a book, and I now coach people to build resilience while they're out of work. If you are out of work, if you recently lost your job, or maybe you've been unemployed for a while, or maybe you're just afraid that you might lose your current job, this is the place to be. We're a safe place where we can talk about all aspects of being out of work, we can answer your questions, and we can help you build resilience so that when you go back to work, you are stronger and more confident than ever. So let's get started. Hi, everybody. It's Sabina. How are you doing? As I'm making this recording, we are starting spring. First day of spring was a couple of days ago. Hope you got to enjoy it. The weather's getting warmer. The days are getting longer. There's this eternal hope that I think comes with especially spring. I want to take a minute to just look at the employment landscape, then I'll position today's podcast. We live in this very interesting part of employment history. I don't know another way of phrasing it. It's unlike anything we've ever seen before. I had a conversation yesterday with a client where I used the term elastic. He said to me, I just don't understand what's going on, because on the one hand, unemployment is low, yet I keep seeing these layoffs and I can't reconcile it. And the way I look at it is it's not quite the great resignation or reshuffling. I think this is the new dynamic that we're seeing. I've been talking about it for a while now, where people just leave jobs and then they go to another one. That low unemployment is good for employees and employers. It's how you leverage it. It's one of the things I try to teach you to do. There are jobs available. I work with people all the time who get good jobs, the jobs they want. I think that's why you see that elasticity in the employment landscape, is because people are being a little choosier. They're realizing they need a job that aligns with their values, their needs, their wants, their life, and they're not settling, which is great. So we did have some layoffs. There was a little kick up in unemployment in the past month, but it's almost non-discernible. But we're still seeing that low unemployment. I know prices are still high. There's a lot of tension with elections and things like this. We're kind of all in this let's wait and see mode. But I still think it is good for you, the employee. If you're the employer listening to this, start giving employees what they want and need. That's how you retain them. No one leaves a good job or a good situation. And I think we're all starting to have this meeting of the minds, as it will. At least that is my hope as we look towards spring and renewal and all good things coming. Today's podcast topic hits a little bit on what I just said, and bear with me as I explain. I have a great interview today. There's this wonderful woman, Kathy Baker, who I found on, one of her posts ended up in my feed on LinkedIn, and I started following her re-employment journey. What captivated me about Kathy, not only her positivity, but she took what I call the just for now job. And a lot of people are doing this. They take a job that's not in their industry, not at their level, not anything that they would be doing as a permanent job. But we all have bills. Sometimes we want to be busy. We want to learn new skills. We take a job for the moment. I'm seeing this more and more. It used to be something that you had to do. Now it's becoming something that you want to do as well. It's serving multiple purposes. Kathy was in that situation, and what she has done with her just for now job is nothing short of extraordinary. Hopefully some of you have seen her post. She's just an amazingly resilient and positive and authentic person. I wanted somebody to share the reemployment journey with my audience, and I'm so grateful that she stepped in to do this. So without further ado, I think you'll find this a fantastic interview. I hope it inspires you, gives you hope, and lets you know that there are great things out there for you. So without any further ado, let's listen to today's podcast. Hi, everybody. It's Sabina. Thank you so much for joining me. I want to welcome a very special guest to the podcast. I'm not sure I've ever said that before. As you know, a large part of what I do is I go to a lot of the job sites, workplace sites, and I skulk, I stalk, I read, I educate myself. And of course, one of them is LinkedIn. I often see the same people in my feeds because I go through the same topics. I'm looking up stuff for clients. I will never forget that at the end of 2023, I kept seeing this name come through my feed. I ended up following this person and just being captivated by their positivity, their personal journey, everything that they were going through. Finally, I got up the courage in the new year to approach this person and ask them to come on the podcast. I want to welcome Kathy Baker. It is truly an honor having you on the podcast. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you so much. It's an honor for me to be on the podcast.
Mutual admiration societies are our specialty here. Kathy and I have been talking offline a lot, and I feel like we definitely clicked. I think that is largely in part to her and the person she is. Thank you for that.
Aww.
I've been following your story with tremendous interest. And first of all, I want to thank you for being vulnerable to the audience here. I wanted you to come on because I found you inspiring. I know that people who are out of work or job insecure will find you inspiring. But to fill our listeners in, I'll let Kathy share her story. But she very publicly posted about her reemployment journey, her story. And it's just amazing to watch how somebody has handled this situation with such dignity and grace. Kathy, at a high level, can you take us through, first of all, a little bit about you and your employment background, and then how it came about that you found yourself without a job?
Absolutely. My employment background, I spent pretty much almost an entire career working in higher education, which is a career field I fell into during college when I was a resident advisor or an RA. People might be familiar with that term if they attended college. And I stayed in that field for a very long time, working in student housing, rising up through the ranks. It was a field that I loved. I loved every second of it. Although after a certain number of years, I started to notice a lot of changes in the career field in higher education, and I started to recognize symptoms of burnout in myself. Now, it took me a long time to recognize those symptoms, and it also took me a long time to acknowledge and accept them. But I'd say it was probably 10 years ago, and I sat with those feelings for that long, and then I moved to a different campus and I took on another role. And I thought this new, fresh experience on another campus will be what it takes to get me refreshed. And it wasn't. The final straw for me, I had in the beginning of 2020, I had decided that I was finally going to give notice at the end of my contract for the summer and leave and try something different. And it was terrifying, but I wanted to do it. Then COVID happened. And as one of the campus leaders, I was in charge of basically sending an entire campus of students home within, I think it was maybe 48 hours, a few random handfuls of students that were left. And then I was furloughed after that because there were no students for me to work with. Therefore, there was no job. That ended that career. And part of me was relieved. Part of me was stressed because I was now unemployed, living in a fairly new state that I had moved to for that job. I was super fortunate to land a position with a local real estate developer who asked me to be one of two people running their company. I spent the last 3 years doing that. I was managing commercial and residential properties. Part of my role was analyzing our financial situation and trying to figure out what's the best position I can direct this company in. And my recommendation was to make some pretty significant changes. And those recommendations also included eliminating my role. They listened to me, unfortunately. And I found my role in April of 2023 being eliminated. And although I saw that coming, it's never easy to have someone tell you, by the way, your job's over today. And what was I to do? I had still longed for something that I could return to that was more fulfilling, like how I felt earlier in my career. So it took me a few months of really analyzing what are these different roles out in the universe that I could consider. I started applying for all sorts of random things. And then I took those first few months to narrow it down to the field that I did a lot of work in throughout my career, even though I didn't necessarily have the title that matched it, and that's human resources. I did a lot of hiring, recruiting, training, onboarding, staff development, all those fun things. And I loved every second of it. I finally realized that was where I wanted to go. And so my journey in this past 11 months has been to find that new role and to be picky about what I applied for and what I'd be willing to accept, in knowing that I had certain values I needed reflected in the company I'd be working for, and certain things that would bring me joy in my work.
Can I go back for a minute? What I'm really struck by is you had a job and then you did something a lot of people were unable to do. You lost something right at the pandemic and you rebounded beautifully and leveraged your skill and took another job. And then yeah, it is a little ironic that you suggested your own job go away. I guess when I look at this, let's go back to that moment. I'm wondering, what were your feelings when that second job, where you were looking at how adults house themselves and so forth, what were your feelings, even though you saw it coming, what were your feelings towards that instance where you found yourself again out of a job?
I think that some people might call me dumb for making those recommendations. I like to think of it more as being loyal to my company and being honest with what I was seeing and also being ethical with my decision making. I'm loyal and honest to a fault sometimes. And I think that's where that led me. But to answer your question directly, I was terrified. Mm-hmm. I definitely struggled with feeling like I was incompetent or feeling like I was a bad employee or worthless, all the feelings that you go through when you lose a job, right? Feeling like I couldn't be satisfied with my first career. Now I've ended up with this pivot, as I keep calling it, to a different role, but still with a lot of pieces of my old responsibilities. Never really fully getting to where I wanted to be, which was doing something completely different. I struggled with those feelings for a little while, and then I tried to turn it around for myself. I think it was out of pure survival mode, turning it around so that I started to see it as an opportunity to finally make that pivot and explore other opportunities. Now, whether or not I could land one of those opportunities is a whole nother issue, but I had to find something positive to cling to. I say cling to because that's what I've done for a big chunk of this time. Like anyone, my emotions have gone up and down. Life has continued to present itself. Things keep happening in my world. But I found things to keep myself busy. I continued to educate myself. I explored other opportunities and roles. I spent time with my family. I spent time sitting in front of the TV and watching bad reality television, things that gave me joy in my life. Right. Hello, Marie Kondo, joy in your life. But I had to find some of that time for recovery and rejuvenation for myself. And I'm at the point where I'm bored and so ready to get back to work. I can't even stand it anymore.
I think that's probably a good place to be because that I have learned that's when you find work. I can pass that on. What I find so admirable is when it happened to me, it was like this double wallop of I barely recovered from losing the first job. And then I've lost the second one. I love how you use that time, you said, to reevaluate, and your positivity definitely comes across. How do you sustain that? How did you get past the, all right, I'm devastated, I'm now questioning everything about myself, to, okay, what's my next move? What's my next pivot? I don't think Marie Kondo covers that. What else did you do? How would you suggest someone else who's listening to this emulate you or find that in themselves? What worked for you?
First of all, I have to say it's really strange to imagine people emulating me, just to have that
it's
in my
gonna
head.
Happen.
You mentioned LinkedIn. I'll sidetrack for a moment. You mentioned LinkedIn, and this all started when on Christmas morning, I was working a part-time job, which we'll go into later, and I posted this reflection of my experience on LinkedIn.
I remember that post.
Yes, and I am sure that's how you became aware of me. That post went viral. I think I'm up to something like 850,000 views, which I don't know the technical definition of viral, but I think that's viral.
That
and
is viral.
It was such a bizarre experience. First of all, to know that many people had read something I wrote and so many people had reached out to me with personal messages or comments on the post, talking about my vulnerability and my honesty and my willingness to put myself out there. And for me, that is second nature. Anybody who knows me knows that I will share just about anything. It's not the greatest all the time. That's who I am. That post was as much for me in healing and processing things in my head as it turned out to be for other people. But to get those messages for people to say, you brought me to tears, or you are such an inspiration, or I appreciate your vulnerability. It was just so wild for me to read those things. And then I'm working one day and I get this message on my Apple Watch and it's from CNBC. And I'm thinking, oh, it's spam. It has to be spam. Then I checked it out later. I did some research, made sure it wasn't spam. Turns out CNBC wanted me to write an article for them. This has been a whirlwind and just I don't even know how to describe it other than a bizarre experience for me. But to go back to your question, I think every person's journey is unique. This has been mine. And I have not always been someone who has been able to find the positive. This is something that's fairly new for me. I'm sure that 10 years ago, if I had this same experience, I might not have handled it quite as well. I have struggled with anxiety and depression in the past, and it's something that rears its ugly head for me in my life now. And there's another moment of pure honesty. So many people aren't willing to talk about those things, but it's a reality for so many people. I have done a lot of work to get to the point where I am. And I think that one of the things I've recognized is what an amazing group of friends I have. And those people, my core group of friends, and even friends who I haven't had connections with for years, have come out of the woodwork to support me in different ways, especially recently. And to just know that those friendships exist and that is part of my life makes me feel so loved and cherished, and it lifts me up in a way that I never recognized before.
I think I'm going to cry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to bring tears.
You're not. These are good tears. It's so beautiful that, as you said, we doubt ourselves if we lose our job, and we question ourselves no matter how good we know we are. And part of the scourge of unemployment is that we feel this embarrassment and shame to talk about it, which part of this podcast, part of things I do and things you're doing, is to take that stigma away. And it's ridiculous because it's not that we do anything wrong. These are business decisions. And then when we do share, we find out that there's so much more support than we ever thought there was.
Yeah.
And that's so important. If I can ask, what made you decide to go public? You just said you're private. This is new for you. You're not a comfortable put it out there person, but what inspired you to do that?
Honestly, I'm not even sure. I think that I've been trying, as everyone recommends, I've been trying to expand my LinkedIn presence because it helps you with the job search. And I have looked at so many videos and suggestions and all these things. I've been trying desperately to build myself up so that I can land that perfect job one day. And I feel like through this other part-time role that I took, I had been almost writing this post in my head throughout the experience of working there. And at one point, it was Christmas morning and I was wide awake at 2 a.m. and I just needed to get it out of my head. And I started writing. And one thing I feel like I can say and be confident about is that I am a good writer and it is easy for me to write when I actually sit down to do it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time I process that in my head for so long that I don't even put it down on paper or type it on the computer. But for whatever reason, that morning, I decided it was time to finally write it down. And I was even hesitating about hitting the post button, but I finally did. And then when I woke up the next morning, boom.
Yeah.
On Christmas morning, people were on LinkedIn. What the heck? How does that
happen? Oh, yeah, we're there.
You know? So I'm not even quite sure what made me finally do it, other than the fact that I just had a lot of thoughts processing in my head. And I felt like that was an outlet for me, other than Facebook and my friends hearing it over and over. It was a professional outlet for me to have a time to reflect.
You've hit the secret sauce there. You're right. I tell people all the time, you don't have to write and post on LinkedIn, but I think they owe us money now for mentioning them so many times, but you need a little bit of a presence out there to show that you're engaged. Mm-hmm. But you hit on it because what struck me about that post is the authenticity. It wasn't I've seen people complain on the platform. I've seen people soapbox. I have seen people fake it till they make it. Mm-hmm. And yours was just authentic. I think that's why it struck so many people, is just what you said, you were doing it for you. Mm-hmm. You aren't doing it for anybody but you. And that's what came across. And in doing that, I think you helped so many people and inspired them.
And that's an amazing feeling to have that effect when it wasn't even my intention. It made me feel amazing. I've been floating on cloud 9 ever since that happened. And I can't even describe it, honestly.
Let's take this, because this is why I wanted to reach out to you. This is why I was following you. It was that authentic positivity of, I'm going to be okay. This is what I'm doing right now. Let's talk about that. You took I call it the just for now job. We've all done it, where we need to keep the lights on. Could you tell us, how did you wander into this just for now job that has actually ended up being a little springboard for you? Tell us that story.
Yeah, an amazing springboard. My oldest son had applied for a job with Target and started working there. It was his first job. I became aware because of him that they were hiring. And I thought, oh, my son would never forgive me if I applied for a job and worked alongside of him. He would literally just die. And so I thought about it for a couple of days. I kept looking at their application website. And then I said, you know what? I'm applying for something completely different than what he'd be doing because he was working unloading trucks in the middle of the night. I was looking more at customer service kinds of things. I completed the online application and literally an hour later, they contacted me. And a few days later, I was working at Target. Uh-huh. And I had originally, here's another name I'll drop. I had originally applied to work at Starbucks there because I drink a lot of Starbucks coffee and I'm probably their number one fan and keep them in business. Starbucks is one of those companies I look up to and I appreciate the customer service that I always receive from my local Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be fun to be able to learn how to make all my favorite drinks and bonus, I'd get to make my own coffee once in a while. Then I found out that they didn't hire seasonal positions for Starbucks. Oh. Okay, great. I was only looking for seasonal work because, again, back to the honesty piece, I'm not going to tell an employer I'm there for long term when I'm clearly looking for long term permanent work. I figured the seasonal position at the time of year that I was at was perfect for me because I kept telling myself any day now that job's going to come through any day. And I keep saying that. Long story short, I ended up accepting a role as a guest advocate at Target, which means that I was a cashier. I was working customer service. I was working the guest service desk. I was helping with processing online orders and delivering them to cars, that stuff. That was how this whole thing started, which was the springboard for me to write that post because after spending, I'll just say over 20 years in management, I don't have to give a specific number. I was working frontline customer service again. And the last time I had done that was when I worked for the Disney store two different times. And again, another company I respected and wanted to learn about their training programs and how they got people to be so positive all the time. There were a lot of things that connected for me. I entered the whole Target experience with that same attitude. I knew I wasn't going to be there forever, but I wanted to learn how they trained large numbers of people and trained them consistently and what their messages were and how they tied people in with their mission and vision and values and all those kinds of things, because I felt like I had something to learn from that. And that's how I ended up there. The first day I was actually trained on a cash register, I realized just how long it had been since I had worked at the Disney store, because back then, we didn't have these giant iPad screens, which is basically what the Target registers are like. It's so much easier now. And I was thinking, wow, this is awesome. My job is so much easier. I immediately started to recognize things like how much autonomy Target gave their frontline employees to make decisions about things like price corrections, or at the guest service desk about returns and honoring policies or being able to adjust policies as needed to keep our guests happy. I started to appreciate that very quickly. And for me, that buy-in for my experience came almost instantly because I noticed those things. I also started looking around at, in the middle of the Christmas rush, because I started working 2 weeks before Christmas, the chaos that was happening because of the season tied in with, if I were to be here long term, what would I do differently? I'm sure that I entered my role very differently with a different mindset than most people did, because I started to make lists for myself of, before I leave this job, this is going to happen and I'm going to make this happen and I'm going to suggest this. I did all those things and it was awesome.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that you didn't treat it like you were punching a clock. You went in it to not only for yourself, but while you were there, you're going to fully contribute like you would had they hired you to be store manager, CEO. You took that ownership of a job and a career. What surprised you the most about working customer service frontline?
Easy. As we see in media all the time, there's this new term called the Karen. And we see all these horrible videos of these so-called Karens and how they interact with various levels of customer service. I was a little scared of that because the last time I worked in any kind of customer service role, that didn't exist to that same level. But I was very surprised to see that, and maybe it's just the community I live in, I think I had one customer that I would say was challenging. I wouldn't have labeled that person as a Karen in any way, but I didn't have those experiences.
Wow.
Part of it may be the way I approached people, because every single person who came through my check lane, I had a conversation with. I laughed with them. I got to know them. I interacted with them. I interacted with their kids. I loved talking to the little kids, by the way, and giving them stickers. I made it a point, and this goes back to my Disney experience. I made it a point for every single person that I interacted with as a guest at Target to remember that as a positive experience that they had shopping there. Mm-hmm. And what surprised me after that was people who came through my line later, because they remembered me and remembered the service that I gave them. And then we'd have a further conversation and they'd check in with me and how you doing? And that was an amazing feeling. And the ones who like stopped and specifically gave me feedback that was positive, that said, I appreciate that you did X, Y, Z for me, and I won't forget that. Those are little things. Working in management, and I would say higher level management, you don't get positive praise like that. Mm. You're the one trying to praise others. You're the one dealing with problems so much that it's easy to be forgotten. And I think continuing with this line of your question of what was most surprising, I started to recognize how important that was to me. And I never in my entire career had realized that positive feedback was important to me. And so now that's something I'm moving forward with, and knowing that whoever I report to next, I'm going to make sure that I communicate that to them, to say, I don't need much, but just to say, hey, you're doing a great job on this. Or on the other hand, hey, here's some feedback of an area you can improve in. So important to me. I didn't know that until I worked at Target.
I love that. Let me ask an honest question here. You talked about leaving your job and how that made you feel, and these weren't great feelings. And then you take this part-time job and it exceeds expectations in the fact that you're enjoying yourself, you're able to make some improvements. Do you think in a way this helped you recover from the trauma of losing a job?
Absolutely. I was on a high the entire time, a legal high. I was on a high the entire time. I never once dreaded going into work. I was smiling every day, no matter how exhausted I was. There were sometimes my cheeks hurt from smiling too much at people, and my feet definitely hurt a lot in those early weeks. But I left work every day with a smile on my face and went upon about my business, and I didn't carry work home with me, which was also a nice bonus. But yeah, it definitely helped me recover. It helped make me realize what was important to me and what I valued in my work and in my environment. It made me look around and see the people around me, and also remember how hardworking the frontline people are in any organization, and how easy it is to forget that when you're removed from it. The people that I worked with helped make that experience what it was. And granted, not everybody you interact with, whether it's a guest or somebody you work with, is going to be your favorite person. But I worked with an amazing crew of people and I adore them. I go back to visit as often as I can. And it's also an excuse to go shop at Target. Side story. They were just a great group of people who were super hardworking and super dedicated and loved the guests. They were great role models for me and great people to just show me what that was like, because I had forgotten.
It's amazing. And you're giving us all this view of customer service and retail that we don't usually have. Retail gets such a bad rap. Mm-hmm. And you're their spokesperson now with all this positivity. And I love that. What's going on for you now? Where are you now in this whole re-employment journey?
If- my, My position at Target ended because it was seasonal. I also, at the same time, was working another role with our local performing arts center, which I'm still doing and loving every minute of that because I'm very big into theater and music and all those things. And I get to interact with artists and performers, and I get to see free shows once in a while. And it's just like bringing me joy in a whole nother way and keeping me busy still. I am still looking for work, although, as I mentioned earlier, the CNBC article that I wrote and the LinkedIn article that I wrote opened a whole bunch of doors for me that I never anticipated opening. And I have been presented with multiple opportunities that I'm exploring, and I don't want to go into too much detail on that, but there are some very promising things in the works. But at the same time, and including this podcast, of course, but at the same time, I have not finalized anything. I'm feeling positive. Got to be on theme there. I'm feeling positive that what seems like an endless job search is going to wrap up within the next few weeks. That's what I'm feeling. Now, I could be completely wrong, and I'm staying open to additional opportunities as they arise right now, but there are some things that I'm very excited about.
I can tell your brand is positivity. It is your superpower. I want to go back. Let's say we can go back in time, and in the situations where I want to use your superpower. In the situations where you were told you no longer have a job, what could they have done better by you? And keep in mind that this, hopefully other HR folks, managers might hear this and be able to help somebody in that situation. What could they have done better by you?
Honestly, I feel like they did a really good job. I feel like they were positive with their communication with me, even though anytime you're ending someone's employment, it has to be a little bit of a surprise because they're going to call you in and say, hey, your job's ending. I can't imagine any way that you could change that. But in communicating with me, the reason and the fact that they reiterated several times that it wasn't performance-based. It was purely a business decision. And I got that because I had made the recommendation to them. So I got it right away. I felt like the communication piece of it was positive. I've been able to retain positive relationships with people that I used to work with. That piece is all there. I think the only part that could have been done differently that would have helped me would have been maybe giving me a little bit more warning so that I could have planned ahead. And I did see it coming. I suspected that it was coming, and I started to look casually. But if I had known for sure, I would have been gearing up my job search, updating my resume a lot earlier than I had.
Okay. That's fair.
I feel like there was something else I should say, but I don't know. I just, because of the odd situation that found me telling them that some things needed to change and that it ended up impacting my own job, I just don't know what else they could have done better.
Yeah, there's a little irony to that, I think. Yeah. But I think it's also that level of professionalism that you have of, if I didn't give you this information, I wouldn't be doing my job properly. So I love this, again, I keep using the word positive, but this great role model that you're presenting, I think this is why these good things have happened for you, is that you're not pointing fingers to people, you're taking accountability. You're also, though, like, what opportunity is this leaving for me? You're doing things for yourself. What advice would you give people listening who maybe are in your situation where they have lost a job, or they maybe feel that might happen, besides the preparation? Any other thoughts, advice that you're going to give them from your own journey?
Yeah, and I'll add to that about anybody who may be feeling like they're burned out or that ended up in the wrong career field, and say that it's important not to feel like you have to be in one career just because that's what you got your degree in college, or that's what you've been in for X number of years. It's okay to consider new paths. And I would encourage people to even do that. Even if you're happy in your career, continue to educate yourself, take advantage of free or paid online courses. Here I go, LinkedIn Learning. It's another great resource available through many library, your library card will get you free access for a lot of cities. So push yourself to do those things that scare you. And I'll use my own child as an example. I mentioned that I'm into theater and performing arts. 5 years ago, my own child threw something back at me, which was, hey, mom, you're always telling me to be brave and do the things that scare me and audition for these shows that I want to be in, but I don't see you doing that. Ooh. And I was like, oh, crap, he got me. And I still laugh about this 5 years later because I went because of that, and I auditioned for a musical, which was a disaster, by the way, and it was terrifying, and I thought I was going to wet my pants in front of the director, but I survived it, and I didn't get into that show, but I went again, and I got into the second show, and in 5 years, I've done 19 plays and musicals, and I'm auditioning for another one next week, and it has become the thing outside of my career and my family that I love the most. It gives me such joy. There I go with that joy word again. It gives me joy. It gives me a community of friends outside of my job. It allows me to push myself. I have always been a rather shy and introverted person. A lot of people tell me they would never guess that about me. And I would probably have bet that people that I interacted with at Target would never have guessed that about me. Mm-hmm. Because my pushing myself in this area has allowed me to explore different sides of myself, being able to act as a character and be completely unlike myself has given me courage in a way that I never knew I could gain courage before. The messaging in that is push yourself to do those things that scare you, because My child is the one who made me do that. And it was a valuable lesson for me to have that reflected back to me. I think another piece of that is when you're online at whatever platforms you're looking at, in particular online, whether it's LinkedIn or Indeed or Career Builder or any of those other common platforms, you're going to run into so many mixed messages and so much competing advice. Mm-hmm. And one person will say something and you're like, oh, that's the answer. I'm going to follow what that person does. And then the next day you're going to see something else, whether it's a video or a podcast or something else. And somebody else is going to have a completely different idea. And what I've learned is you can't make everyone happy. You can't, yes, give your resume to people that you trust to rip it apart for you and take their feedback. However, when you take that feedback, you also have to keep yourself in that process and have your resume represent who you are. You cannot please everyone all the time with your resume or with anything that you do. And it's important to not lose yourself in that process. Yeah. So there's going to be people that you trust highly. And I would say even there are people in my life that I trust beyond the limits of the earth, but yet I still don't take 100% of their advice all the time. Pick and choose the feedback that you make changes with, but don't lose yourself in the process. And here I go. I'm going to pitch one other thing. There is a relatively new platform out there called Teal, and T-E-A-L, like the color. I discovered Teal early on in my job search process, and it's an amazing platform. Not only does it provide a space for you to customize resumes to jobs, the thing that I've used the most is their job tracker. And instead of putting it on an Excel spreadsheet, or worst of all, not tracking at all what you've applied for, mm-hmm. It automatically captures the jobs that you're on a page for, and it pulls all the information into this job tracker system, and it has been a lifesaver for me. I have applied for hundreds of jobs, and I never would have been able to keep track of them like I have been with that program. Whoever awesome. Created Teal, thank you so much. I highly recommend exploring that or any other tool that you find out there. Find something that works for you. Teal was the one that worked for me. And then there are little things that I've learned in the process that make you stand out as a candidate. Not everyone bothers to send thank you notes to interviewers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that is the one thing that'll make you stand out. Take the 5 minutes to write a quick email. It doesn't have to be a handwritten note in the mail anymore. A quick email to your interviewers and say, I appreciated the time you took with me. Here's what I got from the interview. I'm still interested. And that might be the one thing that helps you stand out. Also, there are other ways that you can be creative. I have what I've called my own marketing materials that I send to potential employers after I've had any significant interaction with them. And those things I've been told over and over in past job searches have really helped me leave a lasting impression. You have to find for yourself what those self-marketing materials are about.
I have to interrupt because I loved this idea of the handout after the interview, like that one pager idea that mm-hmm. you had. Can you just mm-hmm. talk a little more about that?
That was actually something I stole, I'll say, from one of my best friends. It was an idea that I believe she came up with it. It's been so long. I don't know. Maybe I came up with it. Maybe she did. But we both talked about it over the years. And it's almost like a little newsletter. And it highlights the things in the job I've applied for that make me the best candidate. Maybe it's stuff that because I have a significant amount of work experience, it didn't make it on my resume. They'd have no other mm-hmm. way of knowing about it if I didn't get a chance to talk about it in my interview. It's talking about things like my diversity training background and my way of working with people or my personal mission or my personal values. It could be anything. It depends on what's important to you and how it applies to the particular job that you've applied for. But I use it also as a creative outlet because I'm a pretty creative person and you can't always put that in a resume. I make it pretty and I make it something that they look at and they're like, wow, this is pretty cool. I want them to remember me in that way. And of course, it's going to have my LinkedIn link. It's going to have my email. Yeah. It's going to have my phone number, all the ways to contact me so that it's easy. I have even taken quotes from references, past bosses, things like that, and incorporated those in to give a little flavor as to who I am to work for and with. And I continue to gather those kinds of quotes. And I think that it makes it something unique and special that they can look at.
And I love this because you said it earlier, you want to stand out, but you want to stand out positively and uniquely mm-hmm. in the job search. What makes you different? What do you bring that someone else doesn't bring to this interview, to this job search process? And no, you barely get an hour to tell somebody right. your incredible work history and the skills you bring. And I'm always brilliant on the drive home. And I love this because it is that thing of, hey, afterwards, it even goes beyond the thank you note, which we're big on here. So I love these ideas of how to bring yourself and to the job search. It comes back to this theme with you of you are your own authentic self. Mm-hmm. That is why you've been able to find this positivity, why you're having some good things happen for you now, long overdue. I'm so happy for you. But it's because you weren't trying for viral hits. You weren't trying for attention. You're doing these things because that's who you are. And right. you have to be authentic in the job search because if you're not going to get a job, that's a good fit for you.
Exactly.
This has been a great conversation and I could keep talking to you. I also know that you've got some things to do. Maybe you'll come back and give us an update, but how can others follow the Kathy Baker story?
You can follow the Kathy Baker story on LinkedIn. The best way is just to hit that search bar on LinkedIn and look up Kathleen Baker with a K, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, Baker, just like it sounds, B-A-K-E-R. And that will bring you to my page. I will definitely update. I look forward so much to the day when I can finally say on there, I'm taking on my banner, my open to work banner, and I have got this amazing job and I have this amazing company and I'm going to be like the best seller of that new company that I work for. It's going to be an exciting moment and I can hardly wait for it to happen. If you want to follow the story, feel free to reach out to me. I make it a point to respond to every single message I get. Not may regret saying that, but so far I've been able to keep up with that. Even if I've stayed up late to do it, I appreciate every single person that reaches out to me and happy to offer advice one-on-one. I've done that with a few people over the last month or so, and it's fun for me, and it allows me to give back in a way that it aligns with the message of your book and your podcast, which is not making unemployment be a shameful thing, and to support each other in the unemployment process. The next time you hear that a friend has lost their job, don't jump to the conclusion that they did something wrong. Jump to, how can I help this person? How can I spread the word about how great they are, how great they were when I worked with them? How can I just be a listening ear for them? They're pseudo-therapists, because you can never have too much support from your friends and colleagues. I have learned firsthand how important it is to have exposure to other people and to expand my connection base. Be supportive rather than assuming the worst. And I think that's probably the biggest takeaway for me of all.
You're back to making me cry again, but in a good way. I can't thank you enough for coming and sharing your story. I was so excited when you accepted the invitation to have a conversation about this. And this has definitely exceeded my expectations. I will go ahead, and if you're okay with it, I will share your profile link in our show notes. Absolutely. So people can follow and be there for that big moment when you get something. And we're this close, folks. We are. Thank you so much for coming. And
thank you.
More than I can say, we are all supporting you and we are all here for you. And we cannot wait until you hit that button with your new job and your new opportunity. But I think there's so much more in your future ahead than a job. I think there's a whole new way of living for you coming out of all of this, and you definitely deserve it.
I thank you so much. It was an honor to be invited to speak with you and all your listeners that are out there. It's been fun. Thank you so much.
And there you have it for today. I hope you learned something or heard something today that is helping you as you are in your out-of-work journey, and that will help you normalize the conversation about being out of work. If you heard something that resonated with you, please show us support, subscribe, like, or comment on something. If you'd like to learn more information, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Sabina Sula. I'm the only one. You can also reach out to me on my website, reworkingworks.com. You can also email me at ssulat@reworking.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to know about private coaching, more about the book, more about the podcast, I wish you luck in your getting back to work journey. I hope that you've learned something here that, if it hasn't made that journey a little shorter, it's at least made it a little easier. Until next time, thanks for joining.